The J-Talk Podcast. Yosh, 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 yosh.
Hello and welcome to the J-Talk Podcast. Ben Maxwell and Sam Robson with you. And Sam, I know you've had some Levain Cup duties to attend to, but how have you enjoyed the international break?
Oh, it's been really nice. Much needed after a hectic start to the J-League. Yeah, we've just had the odd Levain Cup tie and a few Japanese internationals. So, yeah, really enjoyed it and ready to get into this. And just before next week, it goes back to madness in J1.
It does indeed. All right, so we've got four games to review, plus an extra special part two of this week's podcast. And to join us for that, it's our great pleasure to welcome Alan Gibson from JSoccer Magazine and JSoccer.com back to JTalk. Alan, welcome back, and how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I thought you'd segue in with, we've got some madness for you. And then you'd... Yep. Good to be back.
Great to have you back, Alan. And yes, so two Samurai Blue games to review and two also for the under-24s. For the Samurai Blue, well, it could hardly have gone any better. Last Thursday, they beat their old rivals, South Korea, 3-0 in a friendly at the Nissan Stadium. And then on Tuesday, earlier on Tuesday night, we are recording on Tuesday night Japan time. We're kicking off just after 10 p.m. And not long after, Japan have just wrapped up a 14-0 away, in inverted commas, win over Mongolia in a World Cup qualifier at Jeff Chiba's Fukuda Denshi Arena. So, well, yeah, Sam, 14-0, I don't know what you're expecting at kickoff. I took my kids up to bed at 7-0, just after Sho Inagaki made it 7-0 in the 68th minute. And, well, I got a bit of a surprise when I saw the final score, but I don't suppose I should have been all that surprised, should I?
Not a major surprise, but they only beat them 6-0 in the previous game earlier in the qualifying stages. And to win any game 14-0, it's a fantastic result for them. I mean, Mongolia, they were quite open, I thought. They tried to play their football. It kind of played into Japan's hands. But Japan were ruthless, and that's what you want to see in this sort of games, to have that cutting edge. So often, as an England supporter, you watch them play against their supposed minnows of the game and struggle to 2 or 3 nil victories. So Japan showed them how it was done. They were very professional, scored some fantastic goals, got a few debuts in there in both games. And I thought, very impressive across both games, the Korea one especially.
All right, yeah, so Alan, it was a terrific week or so for the Samurai Blue. Which game were you the happier with? It's always great to see Japan beating South Korea, isn't it?
It was a great pleasure to beat South Korea and keep a clean sheet, and see Morita getting a start. I'm getting to like that boy. Morita, Hidemasa, and Endo Wataru really look good together in the middle. I like those boys. I didn't actually watch that game, or shall we say I didn't watch it too closely. I was actually playing myself, and I had the stream on the phone, and every time I scored a goal or got injured or whatever, made an excuse to run off the pitch and have a quick look and see what was happening. And then I managed to see some highlights, but I didn't actually see the whole game, so that was something I'm actually going to do. I will watch the game to see how good they actually were, but it was really nice to beat Korea. And then tonight was just, it was almost perfect, wasn't it? I mean, and the Mongolian goalkeeper deserves some credit too, believe it or not, at 14-0. And he made 5 or 6 quite good saves. And then 3 or 4 of the goals were slightly, deflections or really bad luck too. So it was a cricket score, for want of a better word. But the Mongolian keeper wasn't that bad, was he?
No, fair enough. Yeah, it's a good point. And, entertainment, no question, for the punters who rocked up to the Fukuda Denshi Arena. Sam mentioned some first caps for the Samurai Blue. Well, last Thursday, Miki Yamane got his first cap, made his first start for Japan, and capped it with the opening goal of the 3-0 win in the 17th minute. A brilliant first-time strike in off the bar after an instinctive backheeled flick from Yuya Osako. Daichi Kamada dribbled into the box and fired home low across the keeper just before the half hour, and then Wataru Endo scored from 6 yards with a powerful header from Taro Esaka's corner. Esaka was another earning his first cap last Thursday night, along with a fellow second-half substitutes Ryoya Ogawa, Yasuto Wakizaka and Hayao Kawabe. Then tonight, Tuesday, in the 14-0 win, we've seen Shinosuke Nakatani and the previously mentioned Sho Inagaki earn their first full Japan caps in the 14-0 win. Don't worry, listeners, I won't run through every single goal. Yuya Osako netted a hat-trick. Inagaki got two coming off the bench. And Junior Ito and Kyogo Furuhashi also bagged second-half braces for Japan. And, 14-0, what can you say? A perfect week for the Samurai Blue. What about the under-24s then, Alan? I think it's fair to say you weren't a huge rap for the way that Argentina went about things at times in their pair of friendly in inverted commas at times. But, ultimately, after the slight disappointment of Japan losing 1-0 at Tokyo Stadium last Friday, Japan have bounced back, won 3-0 at the Kitakyushu Stadium on Monday. So Japan have won 3-1 on aggregate. Happy days.
I like the sound of that 3-1 on aggregate. Can we have the gold medal now? Apologise to any Twitter readers for following my rant about the Argentina display. I mean, it was quite a disgrace at times. And when the guy punched Tagawa in the face after about 6 minutes, that was ridiculous. And I tried to make sure that everybody noticed it, because nobody did. It was ridiculous. But I thought they did quite well in that first game, even though they only lost 1-0. And that was a pretty average, lucky, looping header. I found that Japan were being kicked about a bit, obviously, and weren't giving it back. And I was slightly concerned, as I probably have been for 25 years watching Japan, that they don't really have the hard man or even the man who's a bit dirty in the middle. And then come the second game, well, Ko Itakura moved from centre-back to midfield, and he really put himself about. I mean, he scored 2 goals, but the stuff he was a bit niggly. He was kicking boys. He was getting his arms in front of the Argentinians, and they were getting a bit upset. And it was good to see that someone was actually giving it back. And then, of course, the 3-0 win and the 2 goals really pretty much summed up Itakura's the man for me for the Olympics. I think he's a captain material, isn't he? He's really good.
Yeah, most definitely. So, Sam, I guess the JFA are often accused of bringing in powder puff opponents for Japan to play. I mean, at full international level. I mean, these 2 games against Argentina, obviously a world footballing powerhouse, no question. In terms of preparation for the Olympics, learning a little bit of Malicia, learning to take a bit on the chin, but then doing your talking, actually, with the ball at your feet. I think these 2 games have benefited Japan and their Olympic prospects quite a bit. Do you agree?
Yeah, completely agree. That first game, to go up against an Argentina side so physical, it just shows what they're going to have to come up against in the Olympics and just in future tournaments. You have to contend with this sort of physicality. But they came through that game. Maybe a little bit off in that first game. I think they might have been bullied a little bit too much, but the response in that second game was perfect. I agree with everything that Alan says with Itakura. I thought he was very good in that midfield, alongside Al Tanaka, who came back for that second game as well. I mean, I've been a big fan of him for ages, and he's been terrific all season for Kawasaki. So, it was really good how they managed to stand up to that. It is a very difficult game. Argentina, it doesn't matter what level you play against Argentina, you're always going to be in for a really tough game. And to come out with a 3-0 victory, I mean, it's going to do this group of players so much for their confidence. And, it is really good to see Japan actually competing physically in a game, because, as Alan said quite rightly, it's been a long time since I've ever seen a Japan team actually compete physically. That's kind of been their downfall in many games. So, really nice to see, and it's a great thing to build on going into the Olympics.
All right, now, Alan, we're obviously going to be talking about a lot of these players in more detail in part two. That's the guts of this episode. Was there a player, you've mentioned Itakura, obviously, was there another player that stood out to you over the course of the two games, or who got one one particular good game under his belt that that impressed you?
I was quite pleased with Meschino in the first game. He didn't obviously he didn't score, and he didn't do a lot of, up front that really mattered. But he cut down. He was almost a right back or even a defensive fielder at times, and he slid in and he took the ball back and he really got stuck in. I was quite impressed with the fact that he wasn't letting anything get on top of him, even though, you know, that Argentina were kicking, pushing and whatever else. And I thought he was rather good. I'm not sure he'll get into the Olympic side, but in the end, but of course that's what we're going to discuss later, isn't it? But I was, of course I had my eye on Meschino because he's a Gamba player as far as, is he still a Gamba player, Sam?
No. Man City's on loan at Rio Ave.
That's right, he left a full scholarship, didn't he? But yeah, I was quite pleased with him. And then, as we said, Itakura was outstanding in the second game. You already mentioned Altanaku. And I think Miyoshi Koji's also been quite good. I don't think he's been getting much time in Europe on the field, certainly not starting games. But he looks still looks a very good player. I mean, Kawasaki Frontale are just churning out these players, aren't they? He's another one of the, you know, some newer watchers to Japan won't even realize that he came from Frontale a few years ago. So, I think Miyoshi was quite nice too. But, I mean, the second game, I was going to say, it was all round completely a wonderful performance. But you also think about it, that perhaps the first game, was that the first choice? And was the second game the second choice? And, you know, I mean, it would be interesting to discuss later, but I went into it thinking that the players that played in the first game were probably the first team, for want of a better word. And then the guys in the second game were getting the chance to prove themselves. Well, they certainly did. So good luck choosing 15 out of this.
Well, that's right. And, yeah, only two players started both games for the under-24s, Ko Itakura and Takefusa Kubo, Sam. So, the manager, Akinobu Yokuchi, of course, standing in for Hajime Moriyasu, who was with the big boys, with the Samurai Blue, giving them most of his attention. He rung the changes and, had to try and showcase as many players as possible for, potential spots in the Olympic squad, which are, going to be like gold dust, aren't they, basically, as Alan said, we're going to start talking about. And one player who, I don't know, he kind of defies being pigeonholed at the moment is Reo Hatate, who started the first game at left back, is now apparently a full back for Kawasaki, so started the first game for the under-24s at left back, and then came off the bench in the second game to replace one of Alan's favourites, Ryotaro Meschino, in the forward area. So Hatate, what is he?
Great question. I think he's still an attacker, and even at left back in a Kawasaki team, you're still an attacker. So I think that's definitely his position. He did look at the start of the season a little bit, uncomfortable, I'd say, at left back to start with, especially defensively. But he has grown into that position, and if he can become a viable option for Japan at left back, then it's really great for them. Because I'd say, going through when I've been doing my preparation for this, left back is a clear issue, both for the senior team and for this under 24 team. So if you can get that sort of player and have that sort of versatility, especially in an 18-man squad, then he could be a vital component to this Japan team.
All right, so we'll leave the four games there. All in all, a very successful international break for Japan, both at the full international and under-24 level. After a quick hit of music, we'll be back to try and put together an Olympic squad of 18. Back with you very shortly. All right, welcome back. So, after these two under-24 friendlies, that's definitely given us plenty of food for thought as we look to put together the official slash unofficial J-Talk Olympic squad as it stands here at the basically at the end of March, a few months out from the Olympics. Obviously, a lot of water could go under a lot of bridges before the final squad announcement is made. But Sam, well, yeah, this was your brainchild. So why don't you tell us what we're going to be doing for the next, I don't know, half hour or hour or so?
Yeah, half hour might be pushing it, I think, but we'll see what we can do. But yeah, we've got the unenviable task, I think, of trying to do this 18-man Olympic squad. It's 15 under-24s as it is, plus three overage players. So what we're planning on doing is getting an 18-man under-24 squad together first up and then try and fit in the overage players afterwards, see where the squad is weakest and whatnot. So we're going to start to go position by position. I've got a rough list of options in each area, and then we'll go around and discuss who we think should make this squad. So yeah, let's get cracking with the goalkeepers. I've got Go Hatano from FC Tokyo, Paolo Binaobi from Yokohama F. Marinos, Yuya Oki from Kashima Antlers, Kosuke Osako from Sanfrecce Hiroshima, and Kosei Tani from Shonan. So Alan, who out of those five, or anyone else that you might think of, would you have in your squad?
I think we'll take them all. definitely, I think Tani for me, Kosei Tani and Kosuke Osako seem to be the incumbent, for want of a better word. And of course, those are the two guys that got a game each in the last week too. I'm not sure Oki has the experience yet. And same with Obi or Powell or whatever we're going to call him. Hatano, I like the boy, and he's a very good keeper. But, you know, here we go. We're going to do this all through the field, aren't we? But if we have to choose two, I'd like to go for Osako and Tani.
Ben, any objection?
Well, obviously, I have a soft spot for Go Hatano and would love to see him make it. But, yeah, only two make the 18. So, yeah, I think I agree with Alan. From what we've seen in these two games, yeah, it's, Keisuke Osako gets the first game and Kosei Tani gets the second. So, yeah, they would be my two as well. Sam?
Yeah, this could be a really quick podcast. I'm in full agreement with you both. I think Tani is probably the player that played the best last season. He was the most consistent. And Osako, I think, has got a little bit more experience than the other two. And, yeah, I think there are two very good options. Hatano, again, would be third choice for me. I think he's come in from to replace Hayashi at Tokyo and performed very well. And Obi has got a lot of potential, so has Oki. But yeah, Osako and Tani, I think we're quite settled on that. So yeah, well done, everyone.
I think it's going to get a lot more difficult from now on, though, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, I think so. Every position now becomes a lot more difficult. So I'm going to swing on to fullbacks, which is an interesting area. I think it's arguably the weakest area, and we might want to pick two, maybe three of these, but just roughly I've got written down Daiki Hashioka from St. Trudence, Taruki Hara from Shimizu S-Pulse, Shunki Higashi at Sanfrecce Hiroshima, Tomoki Iwata from Yokohama F. Marinos, Taya Koga from Kashua Reysol, Shinya Nakano from Sagan Tosu, Yukinari Sugawara from Azad Alkmaar, and I'll also throw in Reho Hatate if we want to slip him into this fullback discussion. So, yeah, I'll go with you, Ben. What are your thoughts on this position?
This is, as you said earlier, a little bit tricky. If Hatate is eligible in this position in our squad, and I guess he'll be more of a utility player if he's not the first choice left back, he could also be thrown on in attack late on in a game if Japan's chasing the game. So at this stage, I probably have Hatate in my 18. So if we want to count him here, then I would include him here. I think he's a better bet at this position at the moment than as an attacker. So, meaning making the squad as a fullback rather than an attacker. But saying that, I probably would also take probably Kolga, who has played a lot obviously in his very young J League career. So I would take him. Sugawara is also versatile enough to play either at centre back in a back three or at full back, And I won't give it away yet, but one of my overage selections is also a fullback. So I would like to take from the group that you read out, Sam, I'll take Koga, Sugawara and Hatate.
Okay, yeah, sounds good, Alan.
No. Sorry, we didn't catch that, Alan. You dropped out for a second.
Absolute rubbish.
Okay.
No. At least not agreeing about the goalkeepers there. It's going to be interesting. I think going through them slowly, I don't think Tomoki Iwata is quite the standard compared to some of the other players we have. I think he's going to grow into a good role at the F Marinos, but for now, he can leave us. And Hashioka is not really getting any time, as much time. Again, he's another player who's going to grow and grow, but the timing is not right for him. Hara at Shimizu is also not actually playing either, which of course doesn't make much difference these days. You know, training is so intense that even missing games, you know, you're quite good enough. But I think Sugawara is the one. Hatate, and we might come and mention another player later in the midfield roles that can also play either flank, left back or right back, so that could be interesting. Shinya Nakano didn't even get a mention, but I don't think he's ever going to make this team, but he did make his debut for the under-23s, didn't he? The Sagantosu 17-year-old. So and Shunki Higashi. One thing, I guess, could we ask each other, are they definitely going to be playing four backs? Because that would really put the cat among the pigeons, wouldn't it?
It does seem that way. That's how I've seen them play at most games. I don't think they're really operating in this three at the back system, which would open the floor to maybe an Iwata because he's more used to that position. But I think it does look like they're going to go four at the back.
Yeah, so I think we'll stick with our four at the back. So, to be honest, I might be sticking with you guys again. Sugawara, for me, is one of the better ones there. And, yep, Koga suits me as well because he's, you know, he's very decent. And had that, well, I find myself agreeing with you.
Well, maybe, okay. Maybe Sam will throw us for a loop.
No, not actually. I agree with you, Ben, that I've got one of my overage players in this position because I think this is the weakest area. I think Sugawara, I think, is nailed on as the right back. And left back is an issue, but Hatate can fill in there. You've got the versatility, and I think Koga is the best left back that we have as an option. I think if this was maybe 2 years down the line, I think Nakano might be the player that fills that role. He's had a terrific season to start with at Sagantosu, but again, I think we're in agreement, which is incredible. But I think Sugawara, Koga, and Hatate.
Wow, okay, yeah, this is stunning stuff. All right, well, I don't know, centre-backs might be more of the same, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. This is quite really tough. But we've got Koe Takuru, who we've mentioned before, could play midfield as well. Koki Machida from Kashima Antlers. Ayumu Seko from Seretse Osaka. Shunta Tanaka from Consadole Sapporo. Yugo Tatsuta from Shimizu S-Pulse. Then Takahiro Tomiyasu, I think, is the most nailed-on pick in this. Don't want to put words in your mouth, but yeah, Tomiyasu. And Tsuyoshi Watanabe from FC Tokyo. So I'll come back to you, Alan.
How many are we going to have here?
Yeah, good question. I think at least three, mm-hmm. And you might want to put a fourth in.
I'm thinking four because I would be including Itakura, who, as we saw in that second game against Argentina, is versatile enough to play in the defensive midfield too. So I get the feeling that we're going to have the same four, ladies and gentlemen.
So Itakura,
Hachida, Echo had excellent games, and as you said, Tomiyasu is nailed into that position. So I don't think Tanaka is quite up to the standard of the others. So Yugo Tatsuta, still not yet, and again, also not getting games at S-Pulse under the new defensive system of Mr. Lotina. So Itakura, Machida, Seko, and Tomiyasu, please don't agree with me, Ben.
Well, I won't, Alan. I'll have Tsuyoshi Watanabe instead of Seko.
Of course you would.
Yeah. There's our regional biases showing there, I think. But I think Watanabe's played enough in this cycle to suggest to me that, yeah, he would be slightly ahead of Seco. He captained Japan in the first game against Argentina. So that's, I don't know if that counts for anything or not when the actual squad is decided. And I'm fully admit he's not the finished article, Watanabe. And I think I've said a couple of times in the podcast, maybe towards the end of last season, that, yeah, I was slightly disappointed he didn't make more progress last year. But, yeah, for me, I think he's slightly ahead of Seco, but I'm not sure. And I'm not sure whether we also might have an overage chat here about the centre-back, Sam. But, so for me, I'm taking Itakura, Tomiyasu and Watanabe here with, I guess, a caveat that some of my other selections could also play at centre-back in a pinch. So, with the number being so, initially I thought, I was under the impression it was a 23-man squad, and, yeah, finding out that it was 18 and narrowing your 40-man shortlist down to 15 with three overage players added on, it was really tough. So I'm happy with these three, and I could be talked into another. I don't have Machida or Seco on my list at the moment. So how many do you have, and who are they?
Well, I've got four as well, and we're going to split opinion again. Tomiyasu and Itakura, I think we're all agreed on. But my four has Watanabe and Seco, which then leaves us with a tie on between Seco, Machida and Watanabe, both on two votes each. So, yeah, I think the argument for Machida, I think, is maybe just for balance, because he plays on the left side of defence for Kashima, and it kind of adds that. But I think Watanabe and Seco, in my opinion, are the stronger defenders. I think Watanabe has played for Tokyo for so many years now. He's quite an experienced player in this squad. So I'd have him as my third choice centre-back. And I would just about have Seco over Machida. But it would be a fairly close call between those two. So, yeah, can anyone be swayed to knock one of these three out?
Well, I don't have Machida. So I think Machida's only got the one vote, hasn't he?
So
therefore, Watanabe and Seco are both chosen by two of us. So I guess they're the four then: Itakura, Tomiyasu, Watanabe, and Seco.
Yeah, I think so. And with a caveat that we might be kicking one of those out for an overage player later down the line.
Yeah. Okay, so that's our defence covered. So let me just recap it quickly, Sam, before we move on further up the pitch. So as it stands, we've got two goalkeepers, Keisuke Osako from Hiroshima and Kosei Tani from Shonan, on loan from Gamba Osaka. At fullback, we've got Yukinari Sugawara, Taiyo Koga, and Reo Hatate, with the caveat that Hatate could play in other positions in a pinch. And four centre-backs, Ko Itakura, Takehiro Tomiyasu, Tsuyoshi Watanabe, and Ayumu Seco. So nine, we're halfway to a squad of 18 as we turn our attention to the centre of the park, Sam.
Yeah, it only gets more difficult from here. But I don't think there are too many options in central midfield. Correct me if I'm wrong and if you've got any other options here. But I've got Shuto Abe, FC Tokyo, Daiki Matsuoka, Sagan Tosu, Yuta Nakayama at FC Zvola, Mitsuki Saito, possibly, if he recovers from injury, at Rubin Kazan, then Altanaka from Kawasaki from Tale, and Koto Watanabe at Yokohama F. Marinos. So, yeah, I don't know how many we're going to pick here. Maybe three, and then have others as options elsewhere. But, yeah, Ben, what are you thinking for this position?
I don't know, Alan. I was going to say, should we turn the tables on Sam and ask him to go first for a change?
Go for it, Sam, please.
Fair enough. I've been getting away with it all this time. Yeah, this is really difficult. Altanaka, I think, is my... I want him in my team. I think he's been fantastic. I've also got Yuta Nakayama. I think it was the player that Alan was alluding to earlier that can also fill in at fullback if needed. And the other one, I'm torn between three. I'm going to go Shuto Abe. I think he missed this squad based on his, I think it was probably to do with his coronavirus breaches at FC Tokyo. I think otherwise he would have been in this squad. So, yeah, my three would be Tanaka, Nakayama and Shuto Abe. But Matsuoka would be the one I'd have drifting on the outside and maybe there if we need a fourth.
Okay, well, yeah, thanks for that, Sam. So I will go next. Yeah, I can't disagree, but I fear that, yes, of those three that you picked, I'm going to agree with you, but I fear that my favourite of those players, Ashuto Abe, might be getting nudged out when we start talking about overage players coming in. So he's there for me, but he only just squeaks in, and well, he's obviously got two votes now, so he probably is going to make our 18 before we make the cull and put some overage players in. If Alan protested vehemently, then I would happily be called a homer, and I wouldn't mind taking him out for somebody else. But yeah, again, if there is an overage spot in central midfield and one of these three have to go, then for me, I don't mind it being Abe. But yeah, so Alan, where are you with the centre mids? How many do you want, and who are they?
I feel that Ko Itakura did enough in the game against Argentina, the 3-0 win, to show that he can also play there very well. And if we have enough defenders and an overage player at the back possibly as well, I think that we can go with only two defensive midfielders, because Yuta Nakayama and Ao Tanaka will be my two, plus Itakura being able to play there as well. If I had to have another one, it wouldn't be Abe or Watanabe, who didn't even get a mention, but Daiki Matsuoka is a very promising young man. But for me, I don't know if it screws up your counting, but Nakayama and Tanaka would be my two there, with Itakura helping out.
Where would you want the extra player to fill in?
Ah, well, isn't that going to get complicated? Probably in the attacking midfield.
Okay, I would be happy to lock those two in at least. And Ben, would you be happy with just Tanaka and Nakayama?
Yeah, that's fine. That's no worries at all. Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, because we have an absolute mountain of attacking midfield.
I reckon. Good lord. Yeah. Okay. But we can take. So you're going to get through. You're going to get to your list of those Sam attacking mids. So we can officially take Hatate out of that, right? Because we've got him in our 18 at the moment, currently as a fullback.
Yeah, that's right. So it still doesn't narrow it down too much. But yeah, we've got lots to pick from. So I think we're looking at least four, maybe five in this attacking midfield role. So yeah. Good luck trying to separate all these. We've got Hiroki Abe just coming back from injury at Barcelona. We have Toru Araki from Kashima Antlers. Ritsu Doan from Arminia Bielefeld. Keito Endo at Union Berlin. Yuya Fukuda from Gamba Osaka. Takafusa Kubo at Hetafe. Yusuke Matsuo at Yokohama FC. Tsukasa Morishima at Sanfrecce Hiroshima. Kaoru Mitoma at Kawasaki Frontale. Koji Miyoshi at Antwerp. Yuki Soma at Nagoya. And Daiki Suga at Consadole Sapporo. So this time I will go to you, Ben, and you will go first.
Okay, fair enough, mate. All right, so I think we can all agree that Doan, Kubo, and Mitoma all make it. If any of you have any differing opinion, I'll be absolutely stunned. I will also take Miyoshi here, and that will do me, actually, because, I had Atate selected from your initial list, Sam. He was listed here, so I picked him here. As we're using him as a left-back, I'm going to take... So those four, again, Ritsu Doan, Takefusa Kubo, Kaoru Mitoma, and Koji Miyoshi. That's good enough for me. Shall I throw to Alan, Sam?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Alan. Any advances on those four?
Oh, well, I like a good argument, but I don't think I can. because I lessened my defensive midfield numbers, I have also thought about at least discussing Yuya Fukuda at Gamba, as I mentioned him earlier too, because he can play right back, left back, right midfield, left midfield. But... having said that, Hatate might be covering one of the backs in the midfield, sort of the utility player, but I'd really like to see Fukuda given a game. Unfortunately, Gamba have also had four games postponed, so we haven't had a chance to see him, and he didn't start the first one. So I think it would be pushing it a little bit too much if I said, and of course I've only got one vote too, if I could get Yuya Fukuda in there, but he was in my original 48. He wasn't bad. 23 or 24, he was definitely in there because of his versatility and the fact that he's, you know, if you watch him carefully, he can get quite naughty at times. And I was quite, you know, that's what we're missing. Well, yeah, if we're going for four, sadly, for the boring thing that I'm going to do is say, yes, Ben, you got it right on the head there. Over to you, Sam.
Yeah, I'm boring as well. I've got those four as well. If we wanted the fifth one, if we're going with the two, just Tanaka and Nakayama in midfield, I had Yuki Soma as my fifth one. I think it would have been Hiroki Abe if he hadn't just spent the last couple of years out injured for Barcelona. So, Soma, I just think he's a little bit more, if you want a defensive winger in any sort of game, I just think, just look at his performance against Avispa Fukuoka and the job he did on Salamanson. So he's a different type of wide player. So that would be my fifth one, but I've got no arguments with the four. I think Doan, Kubo, Mitoma, and Miyoshi, yeah, it's a really exciting looking attacking midfield.
Yeah, most definitely. I was going to ask you, actually, specifically about Soma, Sam. I think you've just answered my question. Yeah, but I wondered whether he was quite consistent enough at this level, and whether he's gotten enough chances in the cycle of underage squads. I mean, yeah, at certain times of this Olympic cycle, I mean, Keita Endo and Hiroki Abe would have been nailed on, wouldn't they? And then obviously at they've made moves that have worked out to differing levels, and yeah, they've had injuries and lack of opportunities, etc. But I don't know. Yeah, Soma, he's an interesting one, because he can look really average at times, can't he? But he can also have have games where he's really influential. And I don't know. Did he do enough in the second? The second game, obviously, he didn't start the first, but he did the second. So how did he look, and did he look up to the level of his teammates in that game?
Yeah, so interesting. I don't think he was as good as he could be. I think he played fairly well, and he was definitely positive enough to get on the ball. He's very good at running at opponents. But yeah, I would agree with you. He's quite inconsistent, and I don't think, just based on the performance the other day, I don't think he necessarily did enough. So that's why I think he is kind of a borderline one, and if you want him to go for that extra one, then maybe he's a bit of a wild card you can throw in, because yeah, you can get quality out of him on any given day.
Yeah, and I mean, with Matsuo, we love him, obviously, the Yokohama FC's a shining light, but I don't know, is he just too similar to Mitoma to, obviously you're not going to get in ahead of him, so, especially considering the amount of time he missed it towards the end of last season as well, in the wrong position and, yeah, behind a player who he doesn't really have any chance of getting himself past.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's the same sort of problem we had when we were maybe trying to fit him into the J-League team of the year last season, because, yeah, he's very good at what he does, but there are other players that do that job even better than him. So, yeah, he's found himself in a difficult position. If he can convert himself to a left-back, then maybe he's got a chance. But, I think he just misses out on here, I think.
All right, so that gives us, four more nailed on. So let's do a quick reset. We've got our centre mids. Keeping in mind, we only plumped for two of them, and so then we've got four attacking mids. So that takes us up to, terrible at maths, 15. Okay, yeah. So we're at 15 that we have agreed on as we move up to the sharp end of the pitch, Sam.
Yeah, so it looks like we're either going with three strikers or maybe dipping back into those attacking midfielders. Yeah, so there are a few options here. Daichi Hayashi at Sagan Tosu, Daisen Maeda at Yokohama F. Marinos, Ryotaro Meshino at Rio Ave, Kyosuke Tagaru, who famously got punched by Argentina, and Ayase Ueda from Kashima Antlers. So, yeah, Alan, Meshino in this squad for you?
I'm not sure. I might be accused of bias being, you know, in the boy when he was like 14 at Gamba or wherever it was, but he certainly puts himself about a bit. I'm not sure that any of these guys really stand out to me compared to the talent that we have in midfield. And it's been there for a long time, of course. I mean, even go back to 2006 or even 1998 or whatever. It's like Japan has, playing with the false nine is the best way they go, really, isn't it? Because they have so many talented attacking midfield players. And they haven't really got that centre forward that does it for me. And so Meshino is the, for want of a better word, the bull in the china shop, or the the blue-arsed fly, as my mum would say. But when he gets the ball and he sees the goal, he does it. So for me, yes. Okay, let's take Messi now. And then Dyes and Maeda, he's working very hard. And is he really 23? We've discussed this on Twitter, didn't we? Or somewhere. I've seen this. But this guy looks about 45. Be sure he qualifies. I think, and I hope I'm wrong, for Japan and for F. Marino's sake, that he's come really good in a few games this season. But he's possibly a flash in the pan, for want of a better word. The same with Ueda. I'm not sure he's as good as everybody thinks he is, and he's very injury prone. Hayashi is a bit bursting through, just a little bit too late, and I'm not sure he's ready for the national scene either. On the other hand, he scored a goal and he looks very accomplished. So really, I'm narrowing it down to say Tagawa's the man. He's hard. Ben will love this, of course. He's hard when he needs to be. He finishes well. He's quite big. He's mobile. He does what he needs to do. Sort of going off subject, I believe he walked off the field with a shoulder injury in the last game. And I wonder if anybody's heard about that, because I'd like to know how bad it is, because I believe he's quite prone to shoulder injuries, and I wonder how bad it could be, and if it's a recurrence of a bad one. And we haven't got that long to sort of work our way towards the Olympics now and get himself back in the team at FC Tokyo. So I'm really beating around the bush, aren't I? Mission on, Tagawa.
Okay.
All right.
I'll go all right. So I'm not accused of always shunning it and going last and just agreeing with what's there. I've got two different ones, so definitely some arguments here. With a caveat, I think this is definitely a place for the overage player, because I agree with what Alan says, that none of these players, I don't think, are fully convincing. But just, I'm picking IS Ueda based purely on the fact that if he gets to his form levels at the end of last season, when he was paired with Everaldo, I thought he looked maybe the most natural finisher of all of these. So he would get into my squad, and Dyson Maeda would also be in my squad, just the way he's played at the start of the season. He's been moved into that striker role. His movement off the ball is really good. He does what Alan says with Meshino, in back, like a kind of all action, high press. It does all that extra work off the ball, and then on the ball, I think is a little bit better than Meshino. So I would be with those two plus my overage one. If I had to pick a third, I'd probably have Tagawa as my third, but then I'd probably then get rid of him later on. So yeah, two different ones there, Ben. Two different ones for you?
Yeah, it's really tricky, isn't it? I could see the Ueda argument, and I think it's clear that he's rated by either the higher-ups at the JFA or this particular group of coaches, because obviously he was taken to the Copa America, wasn't he? So they know about him and they like him. Maeda as well is well liked by the higher ups, so I can see where you're coming from, Sam. Tagawa, for me, yeah, I mean, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I wouldn't have thought he was even close to being making the final cut. But yeah, he has he's grown in confidence. He's a couple of scrappy goals has got him up and running, and then he scored a couple of terrific goals in the last few games, and then obviously came very close in the 1-0 loss to Argentina in the first game of equalising with a terrific effort that flew just over. So for me, I think we're allowed three, right? We're up to 15. So
yeah.
Apologies to Alan. Meshino would just miss out for me. I think Maeda, Ueda, and Tagawa, there's a little bit differences in each of them that they could add something. But yeah, I wonder, yeah, again, whether we're going to be cutting one of them, and that will be a difficult cut to make once it's time to talk about the overage players. But Sam, are we okay there, or are we going to I guess we've got Maeda and Ueda, because they get two votes apiece, and Tagawa does as well. So okay, so I think we're at 18, aren't we?
Yeah, those are three. Unless we want to switch in a Yuki Soma type player in for one of those, but yeah, because I know Alan was kind of leaning towards five attacking midfielders.
Yeah, I was thinking that, to be honest, it'd be a total waste of time because in the end we're going to cut this guy anyway. But that's why I was going to have the two strikers because we have so much talent in the attacking midfield area. And then I still want, I'd still bring in, he only has one vote, and I'd still bring in Yuya Fukuda because he can play in four or five positions, but he's going to get cut anyway. But for me, the two strikers, because they'll be well supported by Doan, Tomiyuki, Kubo, can all play there. And then Fukuda is the, basically the guy who's not going to play anyway unless somebody gets injured. But as we all say, he's going to get cut anyway. But for me, that would have been my choice, to just the two strikers and Fukuda as the extra man.
So which would your two strikers be out of Maeda, Ueda and Tagawa?
Oh, if I have to choose those two, I think...
Well, Alan had Tagawa, so I presume he'd be one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Hayate will be the other. No, just kidding. Maeda, because as you said, that he has the same qualities as Mishino, which I thought were quite important in pushing, closing down, running at defenders and pressuring people, and all the work that's done off the ball. So for me, Maeda gets it with Tagawa.
Okay, so shall we go with those two and just leave that open gap for one of our overage players?
Yeah, it's going to be easier that way, isn't it?
Okay, so we take Maeda and Tagawa, and we remove Ueda, and we apologise to Yuya Fukuda, but he doesn't make it either. Okay, so we're at 17.
Okay, so now we've got one to fill in and then two to replace.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so, this is where it gets difficult again.
So let's just briefly, because I've done the research, Sam, so I don't want to waste it. The last three Olympics and what Japan have done in terms of their overage players. Of course, a reminder to the listeners: the final 18-man squad has to include two goalkeepers and can include three overage players. Obviously, this Olympics is special. Usually, it's an under 23s tournament, but this time with the Olympics being pushed back a year, it's an under 24 version. But again, three overage players are allowed. So at the last Olympics in 2016, under Makoto Tagaramori, where Japan finished third in their group and did not qualify for the knockout stage, they took three overage players, two defenders, Hiroki Fujiharu and Tsukasa Shiotani, and as well as the Urawa Reds striker Shinzo Koroki. In 2012, when Japan finished fourth, losing the bronze medal playoff to South Korea under Takashi Sekizuka, coincidentally a tournament that was top scored in by Leandro Damião, as Brazil lost the final to Mexico. Japan took two overage players, again two in defence, Maya Yoshida and Yuhei Tokunaga, while back in 2008, under Yasuharu Sorimachi, when Japan lost all three games and were eliminated in the group stage, they did not take an over 23 player to that competition. So Japan has a recent history of taking players in defence to the Olympics as their overage players. I don't know, Sam, so again, I'll throw it back to you. How do you want to do this? Did you put together a short list yourself of overage players in each position or in each area of the pitch, or did you were you very picky on who you decided to put into your particular squad?
Yeah, I was fairly picky. I've got four options with, obviously, the three positions we've got. I just thought fullback was a really weak area, so that's where I wanted one. I thought striker was a weak area, so that's where I wanted another. And then I'm kind of flipping between a centre-back and a central midfielder. So, yeah, I don't know. Do we want to start with the one open spot that we've got so we don't have to do that? We'll leave the switching around of players until later.
Sure, that works for me. So that means our open spot is where? Up front?
It's kind of, either up front or in attacking midfield if you want an extra one there.
All right, well...
did that corroborate with anyone that you were picking?
Well, yes, I had two options for one position, so that kind of... I guess it kind of works. For me, I would like to take, in attack, I would take a Takumi Minamino or Yuya Osako, and I... I literally have that written down because I couldn't separate them. They both offer a lot, and they're both excellent players. Obviously, Osako has, major... international experience. And Minamino is obviously Japan's, not obviously, to many, he's Japan's leading player these days. So I would like to take one of them, but again, I would leave it open to the pair of you. If you have chosen one or the other, I'm happy to take either, but obviously not both.
May I butt in now?
Absolutely.
One of the main reasons I left only two strikers in there is because I felt that Osaka would be a shoe-in for this position. His experience, his finishing, his leadership, it's just screaming out for, take me to the Olympics and let me look after these kids. So I think I'm sort of partly in agreement with you, Ben, by saying that Osaka would be my overage striker.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I didn't want to just rule out Minamino and make it look like just because a Man United fan is ruling out a Liverpool player. But yeah, I've got Osaka, just mainly because the options in attack are fairly weak compared to the options that we've got in attacking midfield. Minamino, yeah, very good player, but he's not a great deal better than Kubo and Doan and Mitoma. So I think, yeah, just get that striker up there. He's going to get your goals. He's a bit more of a presence in up front. So, yeah, Osaka would be my pick for the attacking position.
Mike Havanar is still playing in J2 for Vanforay Corfu, by the way, if you could put him.
Spoiling one of my later picks.
All right, well, yeah, absolutely perfectly happy to see Yuya Osako make our... So he's in our 18, so he's nailed because he's one of the overage players. So now we are at 18. We have to take two of the youngins out. It's brutal. It's hard to do. So where are we going to do it, Sam, and who are we going to bring in? Yeah, do we want to go back to goalkeeper and debate whether we want to put a different player in between the sticks rather than Osako or Tani?
Yeah, we can do. For me, I'm happy with both of them. I think both have got good J-League experience. Both are pretty reliable goalkeepers, and I think it's worth sticking with a younger goalkeeper instead of always going back to Kawashima or someone like that. So I'm happy for those two to get the tournament experience in this one. I think they're both good goalkeepers in their rights, but I'm happy to be overruled if you two consider wanting a change there.
Ben, any?
Yeah, no, I'm the same. Yeah, I'm happy enough with Osako and Tani, and I think we probably need to reinforce the squad in other areas. These two are decent enough. That doesn't sound great, does it? It's damn me with faint praise, but they're very good goalkeepers. And yeah, I don't think we need to use one of our overage picks in this part of the pitch. Alan, do you concur?
So we're completely ruling out Kawashima, are we?
It's a tragedy. I know he will have had his heart set on it, but at what 38-39 here, but it's no good.
I didn't want to take out one of those guys. In fact, to be honest, the question would be, do we need to take anyone else out? But I guess that's what we're going to discuss about, right? But yeah, I'm happy with the two keepers. Let's go for it.
So where's your next overage player, Alan?
I think we've alluded to it already, because the fullbacks are where there's a problem, possibly a problem. Hatate is going to help us out by being versatile, and Yuya Fukuda. Oh no, sorry, he's not there. And to me, it's obvious there are three names that I could choose from, and one of them has already retired from international football, whose name is Gotoku Sakai. Can play at right back and left back, but he's out of football anyway, literally, because he plays for Vissel Kobe. Oh, sorry, guys. I actually think he would fit in very nicely, but I don't think he's considered. Which brings me to the other Sakai, or Nagatomo. Hiroki Sakai at right back, or Nagatomo at left back, and to be honest, that's pretty much where they usually play, but I've seen either of them play either side as well. So I would go for the bull in the China shop, but the excellent crossing and the work rate of Sakai as an overage player in the defence. But if we can call it defence as opposed to fullbacks, and we've only got two picks left, I'm also considering the leadership of Maya Yoshida. Over to you.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yoshida is one of my other potential picks. I've got a difference between him maybe coming in a centre-back or maybe a midfield option. But yeah, I'm with you with the full-backs. I think Gotoku Sakai is probably the perfect one if we can kind of coax him out of international retirement just because of the versatility. He's very adept at both sides. Who are the current ones that we've got? Ben, could you refresh me, please?
In the fullback positions, yes, we've got Sugawara and Koga with Hatate, I guess, either starting at left back or, providing an option there and elsewhere on the pitch. Shall I go? Because I think I'm going to throw you both for a loop and perhaps the listeners as well. I'm very much striking while the iron is hot here, and if we're going to have Reo Hatate playing left back for Japan at the Olympics, why don't we have his club teammate who plays on the other flank doing the same at right back? Why don't we have Miki Yamane in there?
It's a very interesting one. I mean, in terms of form, in terms of, if you're doing a FIFA Ultimate Team, that's definitely what you'd go with for the cohesion. I think, it's a good option. I mean, he played very well in his debut for Japan at the weekend. He offers a little bit going forward and pretty solid at the back. But, I mean, I don't know if you're missing that kind of leadership. It's kind of what I might be looking for in my overage players. And I don't think... Yamane does that. He's a very good player, so I completely see why you would go with him. But I'm kind of leaning more towards where Alan is with either a Nagatomo or a Sakai, just because they offer the quality and the position, but also that leadership and that ability to kind of guide these young players through. So, yeah, I completely see where you're coming from there.
All right, well, that's me done then. So in terms of fullbacks, I would have taken Yamane. So if you want Sakai as well, Sam, then I'm well and truly overruled, and I'm happy to go with him. If you want Nagatomo, I think we might have to throw it open to a Twitter poll or something like that, where our followers, our listeners, our patrons get to choose between the three. But are you on the Sakai bus?
Yeah, I'm on the Sakai bus just because we've got Koga and Hatate who can do that left back role if needed. So yeah, I'd be having Sakai as the other option at right back. But I mean, this isn't nailed in. We might have different options elsewhere that we want to discuss. But yeah, for now, I'd be with Sakai.
Talking about Hiroki, of course, right?
Because yes, although unless you can got Gotoku's number and we can get him into this squad.
Well, it's.
I reckon Alan probably does. Again, he cut out for a second there, but I reckon he probably does. So that means who are we cutting and from what part of the pitch? Because, it's great to have Hiroki Sakai representing Japan at the Olympics, but we're already at 18 when we put Yuya Osako up front. So are we cutting one of the other fullbacks or are we cutting... I don't know, we might end up cutting two of the centre-backs we picked because we might even have another selection from there. I don't know. Sam, you're running this show, so who are we cutting to bring Sakai along?
Yeah, if it comes to me when it goes off the rails. I might change my pick now that I've just refreshed my memory of that, because we're going to have to cut, I think, one of the full-backs. So does it make more sense to take Nagatomo and cut... Koga. Because at least Hatate is more versatile going forward. So, yeah, that might be the way I go. Because Koga's a decent player, but I wouldn't think this team is necessarily losing too much if Koga departs this. And sorry to his family and his friends.
I'm with you. Koga's the one that would go there. Or it's time we moved a centre back out as well, because we've got enough of them anyway. I believe we've gone for Seko, right, and Watanabe. And I think that, to be honest, if I can get ahead of myself, of Koga, Seko, and Watanabe, it's going to be two of those three for me, whoever we choose, wherever on the field.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. So should we say just lock in Nagatomo for Koga? Is everyone happy with that? and then move on.
Well, again, technically Nagatomo only has one vote because Alan went for Sakai and I went for Yamane.
That's a fair point. I'm trying to push it onto you.
Going for Gotoku is not going to do it, is he? But when the listeners, you know, when he's called out of retirement in a month's time, and remember we discussed it, but I think Hiroki Sakai is the one for me. He's got the two votes too, and just because he plays on the right usually and Koga plays on the left, I think with Hatate's experience there, and even Yuki Soma. Oh, sorry, he's not there, is he? Oh, God, dear. I think.
Are we giving Hatate a little bit too much credit? Does he actually need to be there? Would he actually even get on the pitch as a sub if Japan are chasing the game? Again, considering all the attacking riches that Japan has especially in attacking midfield areas, the strikers who would assume would come off the bench behind Osako, who would lead the line for Japan. So maybe a slightly easier decision is to just apologise to Hatate after we've all bigged him up at the start of this part of the podcast. But in a three game group stage where Japan has to obviously do the business to get into the knockout stages, would he even feature? I'm not sure. So. A specialist left back like Koga might be a better bet than Hatate, who is still learning his trade.
You might be right, because it seems to be that whoever's selecting the Japan lineup in the end and has done recently sees Hatate as not as a left back, but as an attacking midfield or a winger or wherever he wants to be. So definitely. Are we going for Sakai? I mean, or do we have to discuss further up the field and then come back to him? Have we nailed
it? No. I'll move back to Sakai for you.
Yeah, I think if we get rid of Hatate at left back, then that means that Koga can. Well, again, is he good enough to play there? We'll find out, I suppose. Sakai and Sugawara can battle it out for the right back starting position. But okay. So that brings us back to 18, so we have to decide whether we want another overage player, who that is, at which part of the pitch, and then obviously we have to make a brutal final cut if indeed we are taking a third overage player. So I don't know, Sam, who are the contenders here for you?
Yeah, I agree with Alan previously that he says Seko is probably the one to be cut. And I'm between Maya Yoshida back in at centre-back or Wataru Endo coming into midfield. I just thought his season so far for Stuttgart has been really good. It's been so impressive. And that holding midfield role is such an important one. And I think he plays it very well. So I think he could come in and bring steel into that midfield. But then you've also got the experience, the leadership of Yoshida. And it also allows him to pair with Tomiyasu just going forward, looking towards the World Cup and to build that pairing. So, I'm quite split between those two.
As am I, actually. Yeah, they were my other two selections. Yoshida has obviously has previous in this respect. As I said earlier, he was one of the overage players all the way back in 2012. So I know he would love to do it. He loves playing for Japan, no question. He would play for Japan in marbles if that was an option for him. But again, he's been there, done that. So for me, when I was making my 18, Endo, Wataru Endo was in it. Not the Gumball legend, Alan, but I'm sure he got some consideration from you. So for me, Wataru Endo made it, and again, central midfield. But you've made the excellent point yourself, Alan, that Itakura could play in the centre of the park in a similar sort of position, I think, that Sam and I are considering Endo in. So, if there's to be a third overage player, who would your vote be for?
Sorry to be boring, but Wataru Endo is nailed on for me. And it's the reason I chose Ko Itakura, because he probably is going to be playing centre-back. And Endo can come in there probably alongside Tanaka, most likely, to play that role. And if something happens, then Itakura can come up. But we still have Tomiyasu, and or Watanabe and Seko, so I'm still looking to dump Seko again. So if we bring in Endo in midfield, but move Seko or Watanabe out of the middle of the defense. So, yep, Endo was probably first on my list too when I saw this, and I think I was tweeting a similar thing that just after Japan lost 1-0 and got kicked in the air by Argentina, was that they needed a guy with a bit of bite in the middle, and Endo's that man for me. He does like to put it about a bit, and he's very useful. So, yes, please, I'm sorry to agree with you, but, yeah, Endo's in for me.
All right, so that works yeah. for you, Sam?
Yeah, completely agree. I think Endo arguably is the most informed Japanese player. So I think he really deserves his position. He's also quite versatile as well. If you want to go to a three-back system, Endo can slot into that middle role as he did for Urawa for many years. So, yeah, I'm very happy to have Endo in and agree that Seko would be the one to depart.
Okay, well, yeah, that could have taken numerous hours, but I believe we've wrapped it up inside 40 minutes, guys. So, well, massive kudos to the pair, well, all three of us, I suppose. Yeah, I'll include myself there. So I believe we have, the ideal as it stands on Tuesday night, the 30th of March, had just gone 11:15 at night, a perfect 18-man squad for Japan to take to the Olympics, and we're fully prepared for pelters in the podcast comments or indeed on Twitter. There's bound to be some players that you think we've overlooked or we haven't rated highly enough, listeners, that maybe you have a bolter or two that you think will eventually make the final 18-man squad. But for now, as we've just debated at length, our 18-man squad is, again, by area of the pitch. In goal, we have Keisuke Osako and Kosei Tani. At the fullback position, we've gone for three names, Yukinari Sugawara, Taiyo Koga, and one of our overage selections, Hiroki Sakai. We have three centre-backs. Again, Ko Itakura is quite versatile, but we're listing him here, along with Takehiro Tomiyasu and Tsuyoshi Watanabe, with apologies to Ayumu Seko and indeed Koki Machida. Plays in the middle of the park in central midfield. We went for Yuta Nakayama and Ao Tanaka, alongside our second overage selection, Wataru Endo. Then further up the pitch in the attacking midfield areas, we have four fantastic players selected here. Ritsu Doan, Takefusa Kubo, Kaoru Mitoma, and Koji Miyoshi. And three forwards, Daizen Maeda, Kyosuke Tagawa, and our third and final overage selection is Yuya Osako. So there you go, Sam. Again, this was your brainchild. Did it go? It probably went much more smoothly than you expected it would have done.
Yeah, incredibly smoothly. I thought we might have been here pushing like 1 o'clock your time in the morning. So, yeah, we've done well. Thanks to both of you for the efforts to get this squad up together and to get this to go as smoothly as it has done. I'm, pretty remarkable.
I reckon, yeah.
I'm still worried about those guys up front. But, yes, as we said, I think Osaka will be the main man anyway, and the other guys will be backups. Presuming that Japan will play 4-2-3-1, which means that Osako is the one up front, and then he's got four or five players to choose from behind him. So I'm a bit concerned about both of the forwards that we've chosen, but Osako makes up for it for me.
Well, should we, as a final act on this podcast, and again, I could be extending things for an extra half an hour, and I probably regret asking this question, Sam, but should we pick a starting 11 from our 18 to play in the first game? Because, I mean, that's what the listeners want, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we were fairly settled on what we were picking. We were fairly aligned, so, yeah, I think, let's go for it.
All right, so...
Do we know who we're playing against?
No, nothing's been drawn yet, so unknown team.
So presuming that they're all strong, then we have to put out the best team, right?
Yeah.
It'll probably be the same team in the same 11 in all three games, presuming that Moriyasu has his yeah, has a first choice in mind. So, well, again, yeah, again, we could be debating this for hours. Sam, who's your choice between Osako and Tani between the sticks?
This is almost like the tightest call of all of them. I think I would lean towards Kosei Tani. I just think he's been a little bit more consistent in the last couple of years, but I don't think you're losing anything if you pick one over the other.
Okay, well, yeah, again, Tani's on loan from Gumba, so I'm sure he won't mind, Alan won't mind putting Tani in our first 11.
Go on then.
All right, and Alan, so we're taking Sakai, so he's presumably the first choice right back ahead of Sugawara.
You see, that's a tough one because I thought Sugawara has been really good, but it's Hiroki Sakai is the first choice right back. Yes, go for it.
You agree, Sam?
Yeah, I think so. I agree that Sugawara is going to be unfortunate here, and you might have to move Sakai over to left back later in the competition, but yeah, I think Sakai has to start.
Okay, so that means that, obviously Koga will be the left back, as he's, unless you want to ask Sugawara, unless you want to do that right from the first game, Sam, you want to ask Sakai to play left back, or you want to ask Sugawara to do the same, as I presume we all have the pair of them above Koga. We're taking Koga because he's a specialist left back. In that case, we probably should be taking Nagatomo because he's a specialist left back and better than Koga, but anyway, we don't want to go backwards. So, okay, for now, we'll have Koga at left back. Now, the centre-backs, keeping in mind we've got Endo, who can do a similar sort of job that, you know, Alan was pumping up Itakura for doing. So I guess we can keep Itakura at centre-back and play him alongside Tomiyasu. Sam, you happy with that?
Yeah, that's what I would go for. I think that's a very solid partnership.
All right. So, sorry, Alan.
Yeah, me three. Well, it's obvious that's the choice,
yep. Okay, cool. So we're, now we're into centre mid. So we're picking Endo because he's one of our overagers. So I guess this is a tricky one. Nakayama or Tanaka, Alan?
Oh, it's Tanaka for me, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe it's J-League bias not seeing as much of Nakayama as Tanaka, but I think, yeah, he's a terrific player and he's a future Japan international midfielder.
Okie dokie then. All right, so we're picking Osako up front because he's our third overage player. That means we need to find, we need to pick three out of four to play behind him and in front of Endo and Tanaka. So again, our four options are Doan, Kubo, Mitoma, and Miyoshi, Sam.
Yeah, well, I'd have the first three you mentioned in that position, so Doan on the right, Kubo behind the striker, and Mitoma on the left. But, yeah, I really like Miyoshi, so it's a little bit harsh on him. Alan?
Again, I'm in agreement. This is quite boring, isn't it?
Well, this team's going to take home the gold medal, Alan, so, we want to get it right, and I think we have done.
Yeah, I'm sure this is exactly what it is. I'm on the phone to Mr. Moriya.
There you go. We've got an 18, and we've done even better for you, listeners. We've got a first 11 for you for Japan to face the world in the Olympics later this year. All right. Well, I tell you what. We've done this in record time. We've got I think we've got just enough time to answer a question from one of our patrons, Grum Freche, guys. As we ever so briefly switch our attention back to J1, which gets going again, obviously, this coming weekend, and it's related to the ending of the state of emergency and the foreign players finally being allowed into the country. Graham Freche asks, with the new foreigners about to be ready for their respective teams, who do you think will benefit the most from this, and who will make a climb up the table within the next few weeks? I apologise to you both. I didn't send this question. I usually send the questions we get in to Sam and obviously our guests in the lead up to the episodes. I was expecting the Olympic squad part of the podcast to take 2 hours, so I didn't think we'd get around to a Grum Freche's question. But Sam, players more particular teams that you think will benefit the most from their players finally being allowed into the country?
Yeah, I think you'd look at Kashima Antlers, who have started very slowly, and they've got two Brazilians due to come in. I think Diego Pituca is arguably the best, or one of the best foreign players that is due to come in, so I think he will bolster that team, and Arthur Kaike as well. We'll just give them a few other options going forward. And then the other team, Shonan Belmari, I think have started the season fairly well by their standards, but are really lacking that goal scorer. So they've got their Wellington Junior and normal Wellington to come in from Brazil might give them a little bit more options, especially this Wellington Jr. I mean, on paper, he looks like a really exciting player. So yeah, I think, yeah, those two will bolster that Shonan team and maybe be the difference makers for them between them going down and staying up.
All right. Alan, are there any other teams you can think of? Gamba, Cereza, or Kobe waiting on any new Brazilians or foreign players or indeed, yeah, any other teams you can think of?
I think Kashua Reysol are suffering quite a lot too. I'm sure Sam has the names in front of him perhaps too, but I think Kashua Reysol missing a couple of players.
Yeah, they got a various number of Brazilians. They've just signed Emerson Santos, the centre-back. They've also got Dodi, central midfielder, and Pedro Raul up front, and Rodrigo Angelotti as well. So yeah, four Brazilians missing for Kashua, and they desperately need the strikers at least, given how they've looked without Alunga.
Exactly. So I think Reysol are missing, as you said, four Brazilians and a couple of injuries. Takahashi and Toshima, Toshima, I believe, are quite long-term injuries too. So Kashua Reysol appear to be missing about half a team right now. So I think they're gonna come good and turn it around a little bit. Gamba, they were fortunate to have, well, they haven't played anyway, but Leandro Pereira and Thiago Alves were already on visas and in the country or allowed back in the country. And Juse Jong came from Korea before the shutdown. So Gamba had they've also signed up a new player now, Wellington Silva, who I believe is in the country now too. So I'm not expecting, as I say, we've only seen one game from Gamba anyway, so who knows what's going to happen there. Cereza Osaka have done very well, considering the players that they missed and the players that they brought in. But I think one of the key players in the whole season could be Adam Taggart, who was very, very good in Korea, Australian player. And he signed for Cereza, but hasn't yet got into the country, or maybe this in the last few days. I'm not sure. I haven't heard any. They also have two centre-backs, Dankler, who we all know of, and Thiago Panyusat, or however you pronounce it, although I hear from Brazil that his team are asking for a change in the fee or a contract, and he might not even make it yet, but maybe Sam knows more on that. And I'm not sure we need Dankler with Seco and Nishio doing so well. So Cereza up front, again, Yoshida Okubo has set the world alight, and the Yoshi meter is flying away, heading towards 200 goals. But I think when Taggart comes in, it takes about a month to get fit and quarantined, etc., then Yoshida will be happy to, maybe not happy, but he'll be content on the bench and becoming a super sub. And Taggart could be a big player for Cereza Osaka, so he's one that I'm looking forward to seeing.
All right, fantastic stuff. So thanks, Grant Freche, for your question. Glad we were able to get to it at the tail end of this episode. And, apologies to the guys for the question without notice, but thanks for the answers. All right, and, Alan, what can we say? Absolutely terrific stuff. Really enjoyed this, thrashing it out. I was expecting, I'm sure Sam as well was expecting a few more disagreements, but, as I said earlier, we've put together the perfect squad for Hajime Moriyasu and Japan for the Olympics. So a job well done. Thank you very much for your hard work in preparation and also on the episode. It was great to have you on. And, we look forward to speaking again soon. Any updates on the J-Soccer magazine in terms of when the next episode might... episode, I always say that, don't I? The next issue might be out?
Nope, I have, sadly, the Japanese press have been very limited, obviously. I mean, the fans are too, but the press have been very limited in what they can do this season so far. And I'll be extremely limited to the games I can actually go to, which, of course, you can watch them all on TV. But my photographer, Lionel Piguet, also, it will only be allowed to go to certain games. And I like to use our own pictures in J Soccer magazine, and the last issue, which basically ended up being a calendar, was very, very Kansai oriented, not because I'm biased at all, but because those were the only games that we could get to last year. So I feel like I'll be cheating the readers if we end up with a magazine full of Vissel Kobe home pictures and lots of teams in white shirts who are playing against them. I've got a couple of interviews planned, and in fact, I've got some. There are plans for jsoccer.com as opposed to J Soccer magazine at the moment. Something great at jsoccer.com, where along with Ken Matsushima is the master of the web, and a very experienced man on the rising sun Japan football. For anybody out there that knows Ken, we're working on a Hall of Fame, for want of a better word, and we literally are going to have a section on every single player that ever played in J League since 1993. You have a picture of them and their stats, and then eventually short interviews with literally every player that we can get our hands on. So that'll be something I'm working on in the next few weeks and months, is getting people to open up and then talk about themselves a little bit more and certain things. We'll try and, you know, basically ask the same questions to each player and then particular questions depending on who they are. But, you know, there's thousands of players to choose from. We'll try to get the most interesting ones. But certainly the ones that come in that are interesting or extended versions of them could also make a J Soccer magazine in the near future. So hopefully there will be another J Soccer magazine in the coming months. It would be nice to say in the coming weeks, but at the moment it's all on hold, along with many other things in the world, and it's probably the least of people's worries, having a J Soccer magazine. But thank you for the opportunity to talk about it, and I hope the rather ambitious project for jsoccer.com comes to fruition.
Well, yeah, that sounds absolutely fascinating. It sounds a few months, it might be a bit optimistic, I think, Alan. Yeah, if you're going to try and talk to every single player who ever played in the J-League, and you obviously get all their stats and that all typed out. But, yeah, it sounds fantastic. Good luck with that. A huge project, but, yeah, wouldn't put anything past you. Again, yeah, thanks for your time on this week's episode. And, well, yeah, Sam, really enjoyed that. It was great fun. And, again, yeah, not too many disagreements along the way, so yeah, I think we've, as we said, we've done it for Mr. Moriyasu.
Yeah, thank you both for all your efforts, and for anyone listening, if they want to send us their A-teams, any disagreements, any player that we've completely missed and we need to hold our heads in our hands for. But yeah, really enjoyed it, and I'm very surprised that we've got through this as quickly as we did.
Well, yeah, I guess if you want to comment, maybe you might want to take different overage players, perhaps, or yeah, if you really want to plant your flag on one particular player that we've omitted, either after yeah, putting an overage player in, or yeah, somebody that we didn't put in our initial under 24-18, yeah, absolutely feel free to comment on the episode, either on Patreon or on Podbean, or yeah, to any of us on Twitter. Feel free to tag any of us or all of us, and yeah, let us know what you thought of yeah, our 18, our three overage players, etc. All right, well, yeah, that was terrific. And so thanks again to Sam for the initial idea, and again, that short list was an absolute godsend for me, saved me an awful lot of time Googling how old certain players were to find out whether they were under 24 at the start of this year or not. And yeah, so that was absolutely terrific. And to Alan for, yeah, as I said, all his hard work in preparation and on the episode itself. So that is it for this week's episode of the J-Talk Podcast. Sam and I would very much like to thank Alan Gibson for his time this week. We'd like to thank Graham Freche for his question, and we'd like to thank all our patrons for their ongoing support on Patreon, and listeners, we'd obviously like to thank you as well for listening wherever you are. The J1 is back this coming weekend, so Sam and I will be back with a guest to round things up in next week's episode. Speak to you next week. Bye for now.
The J Talk Podcast. Yes, 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 yes.